Hello, and welcome to season two of the podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared. I'm your host, Leonque Chavette, author of We Made Plans, which is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and your local bookstores. I'm also a trained paralegal and corporate trainer. This podcast episode is being sponsored by Beauties and Bullets, an online Facebook forum for women gun owners. So thank you to Beauties and Bullets for their sponsorship. I really appreciate it. Over the course of season two, we've discussed self-defense tactics, firearm safety, and situational awareness. This time, we're going to discuss how to de-escalate a situation. You may have encountered hotheads or extremely confrontational people who take sheer joy in arguing and fighting or being violent in some way. And sometimes those people can be talked down. That's what we're addressing today, de-escalation tactics. So I've told you guys at the start of every podcast that I have exciting guests and topics and that you'll want to share that with your family and friends. So please do. And again, everyone, thank you for joining me and tuning in to Sounding the Alarm. Be safe, be vigilant, be prepared. We're going to get started with our guest speaker, Jasmine Lee, also known as Jazz, the CEO out of Baltimore, Maryland. Jazz is a security industry veteran with more than a decade of experience under her duty belt. With a father who is a United States Marine Corps veteran and a current law enforcement officer, a mother who is an ordained minister, and a brother who is an Army MP. Needless to say, being a protector is in her blood. Having started at the bottom of the security industry and only being 5'3" tall, she has had to master a variety of skill sets to become the sought-after private security professional, NRA instructor, de-escalation advocate, and private detective that she is today. Now as CEO of After Hours Security, she has the opportunity to pass along her wealth of knowledge and experience, reminding people in all areas of life to always protect themselves. So Jasmine Lee, thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing real well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you agreeing to talk to me and my listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get started with that fun fact that I ask all of my guests in the very beginning of each podcast.
Okay. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact. I absolutely am addicted to chocolate chip cookies and milk. Not separately. I have to have the cookies right out of the oven and dip them right into the milk. That is
wow.
A fun fact.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes maybe Pillsbury, go buy them and then put them in the oven, but they have to be hot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So you're a chocolate chip cookie monster.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I used to be a cookie monster too. My addiction was Oreo cookies though.
Oreo. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that. The author of the book From Zero to 35, De-escalation Tactics, Techniques, and Tips to Use Before Ever Pulling Your Weapon, I wanted you to start off today by sharing your motivation to write and publish this book.
So another fun fact, I have a brand manager that goes by the name Shauna Kay, and she told me to write the book. I absolutely did not want to write the book because I didn't think I was a writer. And she was like, anybody with a story, you know, anybody with experiences, you can be a writer. And if you can't actually write it, figure out a way to still get it on paper to share it with the world. So I was like, okay. So she kind of broke it down. She was like, you know what? Just give me 35 things you've used on a constant basis throughout your career. And I was like, what? But then every day that I went to work or when I just randomly was thinking, I jotted down a new thing. Every day, a new thing. Even when I was actually on duty, something could happen and I go, you know what? And I write it down. I used to take this little notebook with me everywhere I go. And that's how the book developed into what it is today. I literally did it one thing, you know, after another. So
yeah.
that kind of motivated me.
Okay, so for the 0 to 35, when your brand manager, when she said 35 things, did you think that was an outrageous number?
Absolutely. I was like, what? No. I was like, maybe 10. And she was like, trust me, you have 35. She literally doesn't really take no for an answer. I think that's how she became successful. So yes, 35 things seems like very far-fetched, but it actually filled up really fast.
Yeah. You probably could have went from 0 to 60, right?
Absolutely. I definitely, I'm still jotting down things because I've had people ask me for, part two. So yes.
Okay. All right. So let's discuss a couple of the common and not so common sense tactics to de-escalate any situation.
The most common to me that seems to be the most uncommon is being quiet. In the book, I say use the art of ignoring. That literally is an art. Everybody can't be an artist, but therefore everybody can't use that art of ignoring. And sometimes it's just best to not say anything at all. Don't let people rattle you, you know? That old cliche, sticks and stones, all these things that people are saying to you during a situation really don't matter at the end of the day, right? Calling you names, this, that, and the third, just ignore it. And I think people look over that so much. They try to go back and forth with the person and it just ends up escalating the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That is hard for some people to do, to just ignore it, especially with some of the things that are said. But I hear you and I agree that sometimes just ignoring the situation could work. So without giving away all of your tactics, let's specifically address de-escalating the person who wants to act out when there's an audience involved and the shifting the blame technique that you recommended in your book.
I'm going to tackle the shifting the blame first. I actually use that like maybe most of the time that I'm de-escalating, especially if I'm on a contract at like maybe a supermarket or a retail store or something, like somewhere where I can point out that someone owns where we are. I blame it on the owner. I blame it on the person that people think has the money, has the authority. Because sometimes when people look at security, they don't automatically see us as an authority figure. But when they think somebody's rich, they see them automatically as an authority figure, even if they're not. So I always say, you know, hey, listen, the people who own the store, they just really don't want this or they don't want that. It gives them somebody else to look at, even though they can't see them. So then it takes their anger off of you onto the other people. And then they're like, wait, what can those other people do to me that security can't do? I don't actually want to find out. So it makes them, you know, stay away from doing whatever they're doing because they know the police is next. They might not want to listen to me, but they know that the owner of the place, you know, might get their license plate, give them a fine or call the police. And now they're getting arrested for something they could have just walked away from. So shifting the blame, I use a lot, all the time. I'm like thinking back, like, wait, I use this all the time, actually. It makes you kind of relate to them, like, hey man, you know, I don't really care about what you're doing. It's really not me, but you know, I worked for this person. And now they're like, oh. People usually can relate to bosses being aggravating or bosses getting on your nerves.
Right.
So
yeah.
I like to relate, you know, I try to be relatable. You gotta know if you can actually do these tactics. They're not for everybody for every situation. So the one about getting them away, sometimes it's good to lead the person that's upset away from the crowd, because once they don't have fuel, their fire starts going out, right? If they have people watching, videotaping, doing all this stuff, they have to stay in character. But once you kind of lead them away, and sometimes you can lead people away without even touching them. So, you know, put your little arm out and kind of guide them the direction you want them to guide, or say, you know what? I can't hear you. You know, I've done a lot of club security. So I go, you know, I can't hear you. Can you just tell me what's going on over here? And next thing they know, they're 2 inches away from the door, thinking that I really care about what they're saying. And now I'm pushing them out the door. So I've done that a lot too.
All right. So the other thing is, you know, you just mentioned being real with yourself and knowing your capabilities. Can you elaborate on that and explain how important that is when any of us find ourselves in a situation that needs to be de-escalated, knowing our capabilities and how we can do that?
For the general public, like just for the general public, somebody that's not in law enforcement, not security, you need to know, as a gun owner, you need to know that just because you have a gun does not mean when 7-Eleven is getting robbed, you need to run up in there and try to save everybody. That might not be your calling, right? That might not be for you. You might not be able to jump off the counter. You ate a couple of cheese puffs right before you got there. So you have to know what you're really capable of. And a lot of people tend not to look into themselves until it's too late. Like, man, you know, I shouldn't have started that fight. I didn't realize he knew, you know, Taekwondo, or I shouldn't have started that argument. I didn't realize that person knew everything about wolves and I didn't know anything. So you just have to know who you are. And then once you know who you are, know what you're capable of. Have you been training for this type of thing? No, then stay out of it. You know, do you actually know how to manipulate your weapon under pressure? No, go get training. It's just things like that for, you know, even for the general public. If you want to de-escalate something, but you don't really know how to do it, maybe you should try to retreat from the situation. That's also a form of de-escalating. Going away from the situation can de-escalate it because you're no longer in it. So it doesn't always have to be a trying to de-escalate the confrontation. You really need to know if you're capable of that. Are you going to get upset? Are you going to let the words bother you? If so, then you don't need to try to de-escalate. You know, so if you really have to know your capabilities and authority, you know, if you're at work. So that's actually one of the most important ones.
Very good. Thank you so much. Those are definitely good tactics to try to employ. So thank you for sharing that information. We need to take a commercial break. So again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette, and my special guest today, Jasmine Lee, aka Jazz, the CEO. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Leonque Chavette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chavette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Welcome back to the Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. This awesome podcast is produced by Elite Conversations Media. And this episode is being sponsored by Beauties and Bullets, an online Facebook forum for women gun owners. You can check them out on Facebook. And as always, if you want to connect my face to voice, you can check me out on Instagram at Leonque_Chavette_author. That's LeonqueChavette_AUTHOR. And you are listening to our guest speaker, Jasmine Lee, author of From Zero to 35, De-escalation Tactics, Techniques, and Tips to Use Before Ever Pulling Your Weapon. And so she has a lot of good information to share, and we're going to jump right back into the mix. So Jazz, I feel like yes. I can call you Jazz.
Yeah, you can. We're friends now. You can call me Jazz.
Okay. Thank you. So I see and hear from people who talk about shooting first and asking questions later. It's the same concept as kind of, you know, when you see a whole bunch of people running, you just run first and ask questions later. But I don't think shooting first, asking questions later should apply necessarily. So tell us, when does that work in someone's favor?
Well, I have a question to your question. Who did you hear that from? What kind of person was that? Like, were they law enforcement? Were they like, who is that?
Just random people. Definitely not law enforcement. Okay. None of my law enforcement friends would tell me to shoot first, ask questions later.
I hope so. At least they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't admit it. okay. So yeah, regular people. What I need to say to that is, as a regular person, right? We don't have what police have, which is qualified immunity. So basically what that means to me is you're not thinking about that civil part of the situation, that aftermath, that explaining why you did what you did. You're not thinking about that. And that part is what either is going to land you in a lawsuit or go to jail or et cetera. You're going to shoot first, ask questions last, and then somebody had a carton of milk and all they were trying to do is tell you that your lights were on. Right? You definitely can't do that. That's the opposite of de-escalation. That is escalating it to the ultimate point. So that whole shoot first, ask questions later, that only worked in the Wild Wild West with those 38 specials, double action.
Right.
In the movies.
I appreciate you talking about the qualified immunity and how that applies to law enforcement and not to us, because in the context that I've heard it is when someone comes into your home. So in that sense, is it recommended? Someone is in your home.
So
at that point, you know, is it in your favor to shoot first?
So just as a trainer, I won't recommend anything. I don't recommend you do anything. Every situation is different, right? So when it comes to shoot first, ask questions last, that's the same. The way I feel about it is the same, because say you have kids, right? You hear a noise in the middle of the night. You think somebody's breaking in, because while we're asleep, our subconscious could be telling us anything. So you wake up, you hear a noise. In your mind, everybody's in their rooms, everybody's asleep. But no, it's your teenage daughter sneaking into the house in the middle of the night. But if you shoot first, ask questions last, that robber, now you're looking down, it was your daughter, right? So yes, mm-hmm. If the person is right in front of you, right in your bedroom, we watch movies where people wake up and there's somebody in their bedroom. Yes, that's when that shoot first, ask questions last could work. But you really have to assess your situation. Even if somebody's breaking into your house, you need to make sure that when you're shooting the right person at the right moment, you know? You can't shoot people in the back in most states. So if you're reacting and you're just shooting, you might end up going to jail just because you didn't think about that one little thing. So I don't, you know, go with that. Shoot first.
No, that's good. And that's fine. I mean, what you're saying makes sense, and it's good for the listeners to hear. So one of the other questions I had for you was for de-escalation tactics. For people on the street or in their homes, how can someone de-escalate an individual intent on robbing or hurting them, whether they are out in public or, well, let's do the out in public one.
Okay, because I was ready for the in-home one. You sure you don't want to?
Okay, no, then do there? Both. We go for both then. Let's go.
Okay, let's go for both. So I'm going to say this. My mom, we live together, right? If my mom was home alone, and somebody came in the house, there's no de-escalating, right? Because we now know that person's intent. Their intent was to come somewhere where they're not supposed to be. You don't pay mortgage, you don't pay rent. It's not where you're supposed to be. So de-escalation in that sense, to me, my de-escalation is self-defense, because I'm defending myself against your intent, and I'm stopping you from doing your goal, whatever that goal is, right? So when I say de-escalation, I don't necessarily mean not defend yourself. I mean, take that situation and bring it down a notch. And as a woman, as a 5'3" woman, if I bring you down, however that is, with a firearm or not, I'm taking the situation down, because it's not escalating, because you're not getting up, you're not hurting me, you're not doing whatever you intended. So when it comes to home invasion, it's a total different thing. If I'm stopping the crime in process, that's a total different thing, you know? Because to me, when I say you, before you use your weapon could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be a firearm, right? So if their weapon, if they don't have a gun, but their weapon is their hands, they're 6 foot, you know, 300 pound man, they could take me out in one good punch, right? So equalizer for me would be my firearm. And that would be me in turn de-escalating the situation, because now you're sitting on the ground, your leg bleeding, and now the police can come and handle it. I de-escalated it because now we're not fighting in here.
You know, now we're not fighting because you're down.
Now we're not fighting because now you're down, right? So, hey, that to me is that kind of de-escalation. And like I said, every tactic can't fit every situation. Home invasion is a serious thing because things could go left really, really fast when it comes to home invasion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so then what about like on the
public?
In the public.
So in Maryland, our law here, we don't have that stand your ground law. We have a duty to retreat. So if you're in public and there's a situation happening that you're not directly involved in, you don't necessarily don't have enough time. You have enough time to assess the situation and go, you know what, let me break these people up, or let me try to get this guy's attention and talk about this. Let me try to de-escalate. You have that time. Now, if you're walking in a parking lot at night and somebody runs up on you, are we really going to say, hey, listen, I know your mom didn't really love you that much, and I just want to let you know that we all care for you. Right. We don't have time for that. You know what I'm saying? So de-escalation only works if you have time. You have to have time to de-escalate. And if you don't have that time, self-defense, defend yourself. That's it.
Right. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, that's good. That makes sense, because we don't want people to be confused. And like you said, you're not going to say, oh, I know your mom didn't love you. I know you don't want to go through and do this because they're intense.
We're not Dr. Phil and these guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that's good. That's definitely good. What you just shared, that you have to pretty much have time to de-escalate.
You have to have time.
I mean, every situation evolves differently, and you have to make split decisions, you know, split second decisions. So
yeah,
that's good.
You have about 2 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So Jazz, you are also the CEO of your own security company and a private detective. I like that.
Yes.
So you state in your book that your title does not determine your growth, and that you have this strong family history that we went over, of loved ones in the field of protecting others. So elaborate on what all of this means to you.
Okay, so basically it fits all the cliches, like, oh, you know, where you started, it doesn't have to be where you're finished. It's just my version of that cliche, because it's true. I started out doing security at parties, under the table. You know, I was not licensed. I was just, you know, there. Hey, you want to do this? You can fight, Jazz. You want to do security? Oh yeah. Okay, sure. But then I realized it was a whole industry. There was a whole business. You could get really paid for this and have licenses with your little picture on. So once I realized that, I'm like, okay, but now I own my own company. So if you start somewhere and this is like, oh, this is not really what I want to do in the security industry, it's so big. It's so many sides to this industry that no matter what your title is today, that does not have to be your title tomorrow or the next day. You can forever evolve in this industry. So that's pretty much what that means to me.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So I know that you said that, you train others at the gun range. And I think you said you're going to be at the gun range today, right?
Yes, actually, I'm the student today, actually. I'm getting trained in ARs.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, so tell us how long you've been a gun owner, and tell us what your first gun is before we take a break.
My first gun was a Glock 22, 40 caliber. Everybody was like, oh my God, why are you getting a 40 caliber? And I was like, I don't know. It might have been rap music. I'm not really sure. I'm going to digress on that. But that was my first gun. And I've been a gun owner since I was 21. I filled out the application before 21 because I knew that that's what I wanted. So that's how long I've been doing it. I have not been teaching that long though. I just got into the instructing side of the world. And so far I love it. So, yep.
That's good. So I want my listeners to know that on top of being an author and a CEO, that Jazz, the CEO, is also a comedian.
I just say whatever comes to my mind. That's all.
That's okay. So, all right, guys, we have to take another break. We are getting great information, and thank you so much, Jazz. We're going to take a pause
for
a commercial
welcome.
Break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nicole from Beauties and Bullets, an all-women's gun group for beauty. Beauties and Bullets was created in 2020 and now has over 230 members and still growing. Beauties and Bullets is a group where women can come together, network, ask questions, find out about which weapon is best for them, meet at the range for a range date, learn about their EDC, work on getting their permit and becoming licensed and licensed to carry. Beauties and Bullets is a gun group created by beauty for beauty. So come on over to the Facebook page at Beauties and Bullets and the Instagram at beauties_and_bullets, where all of your questions can be answered and you can network with other beauties.
Welcome back to the Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette. My book, We Made Plans, is available for purchase online through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and your local bookstores. If you want to check out my website, you can get access to my podcast directory, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and that is leonquechivette.com. Also want to again take the time to thank my sponsor, Beauties and Bullets, the online Facebook forum for women gun owners. So thank you to them. And if your company is interested in becoming a sponsor for the podcast, please email me at leonquechivette@gmail.com. Again, you're listening to my guest speaker, Jasmine Lee, AKA Jazz, the CEO out of Maryland. And she is the author of De-Escalation Tactics, Techniques, and Tips to Use Before Ever Pulling Your Weapon. All right, so Jazz, welcome back. We're in the last part, and you have a very important story to share with us.
Yes, okay. So this is a good story. Okay. Nobody's ever asked me about this story either, so I appreciate you talking to me about this story. So I was doing security at a college party. I had a partner who happened to be like the chief operating officer at this company I was working for. And somehow he gets into it with a college football player. Both guys are huge compared to me, but he did not use the art of ignoring. He let this kid rattle him. He started kind of tensing up like he was going to fight this kid. And I just was thinking in my head, if he takes him down, I'm with all these kids by myself. What am I going to do? So instead of letting him continue, I pushed him out of the way and I got underneath this kid, yes, underneath. And I was like, hey, look down here. I mean, he really had to look down here. I'm 5'3". He's a football player. So he looks down at me and I'm like, do you want to eat Thanksgiving dinner with your mother? And I think if I could really play it back, I'm sure there was crickets. I'm sure a penny hit the ground and you could really hear silence because everybody looked at me like I was crazy, but it got his attention. I could tell by the way he was dressed that his family had money. I could tell that, you know, college and school is important. And usually those kids come from those good families or the family that they have is important to them. So I took a stab in the dark and I said, mom. He looked like a spoiled little mama's boy. And it worked. He looked down at me and he said, what? Not in those nice terms, he kind of used the cuss word as well. But he said, what? And I said, do you want to eat Thanksgiving dinner with your mother? And he was like, what does that have to do with anything? I was like, think about it. You hit him, I call the police, there's a rumble, and you go to jail, and it's Friday. You're not coming home till Monday, and, you know, Thanksgiving was it that weekend. So he just looked like, oh, my God. Like, right. So these are the consequences of my actions that I wasn't thinking about, because most of the time, young people don't. So he was like, yeah, man, you know, my mom's cooking a good dinner. Like now he's not even thinking about arguing, right? He's not even there anymore. Now he's thinking about food. He's a big guy. So now he's thinking about food. And now I'm like, yeah, I mean, my mom too. So now I'm leading him away from my partner who was actually escalating the situation. And, you know, now his whole mindset is now like, one, I don't want to go to jail. And yes, I really love to eat. So now I'm talking to him about food. We're talking about turkey and stuffing and things like that. And he just was ready to hit a whole officer. So those kind of things actually work. You just have to use them at the right time in those right moments.
And you had to just, you know, you checked them out and you made some assumptions and then you used that to try to de-escalate the situation, and it was effective and that was good.
It was
because effective. Thanksgiving dinner is really important to a whole lot of people.
Right. And I knew that he was out of town and right. he was coming home. Mm-hmm. So I knew if you're coming home for the holidays, you care.
Right.
You care about that.
Yeah.
Right. So,
absolutely.
You know, it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No.
That's a good story.
No, that is definitely a good story. And thank you so much for sharing it. I appreciate that. So for our listeners, I want you to tell us what is your number one thing that you want them to know in order to be safe, be vigilant, and be prepared.
If I'm talking to gun owners
and
females too, if I'm talking to female gun owners, then my biggest thing is I want you to train. It's not enough to meet the state requirement in Maryland's case. It's not enough to buy the firearm and post it on social media and say, I'm ready. That's not enough. You have to continuously train. And I don't mean going to the range with your friend and you guys teaching each other bad habits and continuously practicing those bad habits. Take at least one real lesson from a trainer and then take what you learn and go out and practice it on your own. But that's what I want people to take away, train. And firearms not the only self-defense tool.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You might absolutely not always be able to use a firearm, but you know, mm-hmm. if you know how to get out of a chokehold, if you know how to de-escalate verbally, those things are self-defense as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's why when I saw your book, I was like, oh wow, that's gonna be really good. Right. And I read through the whole book and it's well done. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Short and sweet.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's definitely short and sweet, but I'm not gonna make short jokes.
Oh, you already did by just saying you weren't. And that's okay. It's your show. You can do that. It's okay.
But yeah, no, one thing that we definitely discuss all the time on this podcast is the need to train and to train, you know, beyond just going to the range, standing still and shooting. So I appreciate you
right.
pretty much reiterating that to our listeners. I appreciate that. And so
yep.
how can people get in touch with you? Tell us real quick, how can they find you on social media?
The easiest way is just to go in any social media platform and type in, I am Jazz, the CEO. That's it. I'm on every single platform with the same name to make it easier for myself to remember and make it easier for other people to remember.
Great, great. Thank you so much. So Jazz, I have to wrap it up, but I feel like we could have like a whole nother half an hour to go
we
over some more
could.
Stuff with this 0 to 35. Plus, you have some valuable information and knowledge that I may want to tap you again to bring you back.
Hey,
to
I'm here.
Us. Thank
part
you so
two.
Much.
Part two.
Yeah.
All
right.
Thank you.
All right, so thank you to my incredible guest, Jasmine Lee, author of From Zero to 35, De-escalation Tactics, Techniques, and Tips to Use Before Ever Pulling Your Weapon. I'm so thankful for the many, many guests that I've had who are so willing and generously share their knowledge and expertise with us. And so my note to self as I close out is to make sure that I have time to de-escalate a situation. And if I don't, then I have to think fast and figure out something else. And to have that in my mind, you know, that muscle memory thing, if I cannot de-escalate a situation. As always, to our listeners, please take your safety, security, and mental and physical well-being seriously as much as reasonably possible. You all know that I am a Psalms 91 believer, and Miss Jazz, the CEO's mom, is an ordained minister, so I know she knows about Psalms 91 and Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't want people to walk in fear. I want people to walk confidently with these scriptures in mind. As always, I tell people to train. Jazz reiterated that. And so, guys, if you enjoy the podcast, please make sure you tell a friend. We are available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and some other platforms. And most importantly, this harkens back to my book. We make plans every day, and to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Thank you all, and love you. Take care. Thank you, Jazz.
Thank you.